This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's Amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 503, the box office report.
No.
Ready or not?
Oh, jeez. Haven't we already been through this before?
Oh, sheesh. It's a running gag. Yeah. So, ready or not?
Yeah.
There we go.
Here I come.
I guess let's just go around the table real quickly. Everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. And returning for a second trip around the podcast sun.
Bold move.
Yeah. Aaron Marlowe. Hey, Aaron. How's it going?
Hey, good.
She is a longtime listener, show supporter, and Patreon subscriber. So if you would like your shot at that.
Maybe... A triple threat is what yes. They call that, I believe.
you could also subscribe to Patreon, patreon.com/realspoilers. $5 a month gets you all sorts of bonus content. And occasionally we reach out to people and see if they'd like to be on an episode with us. So,
indeed.
Or
what's
in this case,
next?
Two.
I mean, now that you've accomplished one of your life goals, what's next for you, Aaron?
Yeah, this was my life goal, so I guess that's it. I want to accomplish in my
she's
life,
like,
so I'm done.
Like, yeah, she's like, wow, you're really making it sad now.
No, you can have other things. I'm not like you're done with life, but you know.
Your bucket list is full.
Maybe climb Everest or something small like that after this.
Yeah,
something small like that.
I'd love to go swim with sharks, though.
Ooh.
Like one of those the little cages that you go in and do the dives.
Is that something you can actually pay and do?
Yeah. And you could do a lot in Australia too. Yeah.
Oh, I'm not going anywhere near there. Have you seen the nope. bugs there? Like they're as big as your head. The spiders are
nope.
jumping at you. Snakes and toilets and yeah.
No, thank you.
Yeah,
I did the dolphin thing.
Yeah, you did, didn't you?
Yeah.
Gotta be careful about them too. You hear some crazy stories about dolphins.
Like what's a dolphin going to do to me?
They rape people.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, now I feel rejected.
He's like, none of them even came near me.
Ah, they didn't even wink at me. Am I not good enough, dolphin?
But you hear these horror stories. I mean, either there was this video that went around online about this girl who was swimming with a dolphin, and this thing is just like relentless. Like they will not leave you alone. People, it doesn't matter. They
wow.
It's bad.
It's bad.
Okay. I
sounds
really...
like a bad sci-fi film.
So. I know.
It does, but it's like someone's vacation video.
I have so many blowhole jokes running through my head right now. I don't even know where to start, so I'm just going to skip them all. Don't forget, also, we're available on Facebook, facebook.com/realspoilers. Go swing by, join the group, so you can interact with us and the other listeners throughout the week. We'd love to have you. So there's all that. I guess ready or not.
Yeah, I loved this movie.
I thought it was fantastic.
This is great. This is like top five of the year. It's in my top five.
I so liked far. It. I didn't love it.
Aaron?
I loved it. I'm seeing it again in a few hours.
Yeah.
It's so fun. I was like, I wouldn't mind going on this ride, knowing what's going to happen now and like watching it again from a different perspective and how all the characters act and everything. I just thought it was so much fun. What an entertaining movie.
It was great.
Yeah.
What were you saying?
No, I just, I don't know. I thought it was going to be this, but more so. I don't know what.
Huh. Okay.
But again, I liked it.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to like love it. and I just liked it.
Okay. So, okay. Yeah. So,
but a like from Tom is almost like a love because
yeah,
it's
almost
fair.
Like when Spath says he likes something, you're like, oh man, I mean, well, it's really good.
If Spath says it was okay, that's like an amazing review. Tom at least like I liked it. That means most people will love it. So I think we're all kind of on the same page.
So I will say this is gonna. There's some spoilers. So
well, yeah.
See, well, I mean,
it's
like
in the title of the
yeah,
show.
Yeah, but also like
there's
we've
been
said
502 of these.
We've also said that sometimes.
It's more spoilery than not.
Like the end of this movie has a big spoiler. So.
Like us telling you what happened in Fast and Furious Presents Hobbs and Shaw.
Not a big deal.
Did they win?
Of course.
Did they save the world from nuclear missiles?
Sure. Why not? This one though, there is a big spoiler.
It's more
so,
fun to watch it not knowing.
Not knowing. Yes. So, to me, this is in the vein of Cabin in the Woods. Like, you could do a double feature of this in Cabin in the Woods. And
with its humor, but horror.
But also, like the craziness of this. Yeah. You're Next, Clue, like, all you could play all of these kind of together, and they all kind of work.
Well, I read a review where someone described this as Clue meets The Purge.
I can see that.
And I'm like, yeah, that's fair.
That works.
And then throw in, like, I mean, when you get movies like The Game or The Most Dangerous Game is when they're hunting
people. That is, yes.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like I always find those movies interesting. And this movie isn't so much trying to make a statement. I mean, this is more of a fun, crazy.
It's interesting that they didn't pull this, but they pulled the other one.
But the other ones, that's the thing, is that's very political.
Yes.
Like, apparently the one they pulled does have very political characters doing this stuff, but that's what I mean. This one you can,
but that one that they pulled was the guy who wrote it is a Republican.
Oh, really?
And then the guy who produced it is a Democrat.
Well, it's Blumhouse, right?
Yeah.
How interesting.
But the guy who wrote it is like a registered Republican and has been supportive of Republican causes and that supposedly if you like the only thing that's available to see was like the first draft of the script.
Sure.
But that the first draft of the script was very much like kind
balanced.
Of like pro, like blue collar working man. Like it wasn't, you know, like wasn't necessarily pro Trump or pro conservatism.
Right, right.
But pro like working man versus elites,
the elitist,
if you will.
Okay. Yeah.
I think they just want to, but either way, the fact that they're, are politics involved? They just want to stay away from guns and politics. Yeah. Like that's just.
It is interesting though because there's one gun in this movie.
Yeah, like this movie isn't very heavily though. Like
no,
you know what I mean. It's because I think that also this movie is very like.
There's more than one gun in this movie.
There is. You're right.
Yeah, there's
right.
two guns.
Yeah, right. There's a couple, but there's crossbows and there's knives and like I think the thing is that this movie's more zany. It's more. This is just a thriller action. You can't take it too seriously.
Dark comedy.
It's a lot of fun, you know. So with this movie, when you see someone with a crossbow and they're making jokes about it and everything, you're not in the same.
Watching how to use a crossbow on YouTube.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. So why don't we just?
Yeah. So the movie kind of opens with Alex and Dan. As little kids, and they're running through this massive house, and you kind of hear like there's a commotion going on, and so I think Alex is the younger brother, Dan is kind of the older brother, and you think that they're the ones who are being chased, but it turns out they're not. So like Dan kind of puts his little brother into like a, I don't know what you would call it. Like a
cupboard,
like
or
a
cupboard
room, kind of.
Yeah,
almost.
Kind
of.
Yeah, exactly.
I think now we know it was one of those hidden rooms.
It was like the servant,
like we didn't realize
passageways.
Yeah, later in the movie, they're like, "Oh, there's hidden rooms in the in the walls." Yeah.
So he puts him in there, and then all of a sudden, bursting through the door is this man in a tux with like arrows sticking out of him, and he's like, "Dan, you gotta help me, He was, just, and then all of a sudden, Dan's like, "He's in here." And then here comes this entire flood of family members and then a woman in a wedding dress who's crying, and they kind of take they scoop up this guy and they take him into another room and they close the door behind him. And then we flash forward 30 years and we see not Margot Robbie.
Yeah.
Who they are, like she's great.
She's
great.
What a delightful, fantastic actor with just that's so likable. So she has just she has such a personality. She's funny.
Mm-hmm. I gotta tell you, the relationship between her and adult Alex is great.
Yeah,
like you feel like that's one of the things that I think sometimes is missing. But you can feel like their connection to each other.
Very believable.
Very believable.
The way this movie is written is the way that a lot of people talk. It's very conversational.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel forced. It doesn't feel fake like movie scriptish. You know, it's it's a very down-to-earth movie, mm-hmm. and I think that's why you relate to the characters so much. I mean, obviously, things go off the rails, but when you meet these two, you're like, wow, these are two people getting married that are very in love, and obviously, he's detached from his family and having to put up with their crap, and she's not liked by the family, feels like an outsider. I mean, these are things that we've all felt, you know, at some point.
Sure.
And they're relatable characters.
She is the main character in a movie called Mayhem,
okay.
which was on Shudder, starring Steven Yeun. It's kind of like Wreck or Quarantine.
Okay.
Where they work in this office building and then like a virus gets let loose into the building. Hmm. But it's not a zombie virus. Like it is a virus that allows you to access all of your innermost like desires. Hmm. So like if you want to go punch your boss, you're gonna go punch your boss.
Oh.
But she is part of like she's the main character. She's the second lead in that okay. movie, and she's amazing in that.
I had never seen her before, but I'll go back and seek that out because I just thought she was a great leading actor. I hope she shows up in more stuff after that.
She was really good.
She's in another really good movie, a Netflix movie called The Babysitter, and it's kind of comparable to this in a way.
That's getting a sequel.
And she plays the babysitter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I watched that, I think.
And she's doing a ritual, like a satanic
ritual. Oh, my gosh. So I guess I watched. That's kind of a crazy, violent, right?
Yeah.
Like, I can't remember. I watched it when it first came out, but I heard it was crazy.
Yeah, I think they just announced that's getting a sequel as well.
Okay.
Oh, so,
yeah. Also in the upcoming Bill and Ted sequel.
Oh, great.
Oh,
as
nice.
Who?
Okay.
Does it say who she is?
No.
Oh, okay. She was Alex Winter's daughter or something.
She's yeah. Rufus.
That's a
no,
sad
no
thing.
Explanation.
It's a sad thing that he's not going to be in that movie.
Yeah.
So
they cast his daughter though.
They did.
I don't know that she's playing Rufus, but she does have a role.
Christian Schaal is going to be the like Rufus character that takes them around. And
okay.
Everything else. She's funny.
So Alex has grown up and he brings his girl Grace was her name. To the house, and it's just like this massive, very elitist house. You know, the massive rooms, and
we should say Grace is played by Samara Weaving. Her name?
Yes, thank you. And so like he's kind of, you're getting introduced to the family, and you see Adam Brody, who I think is great in this movie as well. Like
anytime Adam Brody shows up, it's
when he showed up in Shazam, and I was like, oh man, look at that little big old Freddy is Adam Brody. So, but he's, you know, there's definitely some lingering effects of what had happened when they were kids. And the great shot of the, I think, guess it was his aunt where she's just sitting in the corner. Oh
so
my God.
Creepy.
It was so
older aunt.
Yes. So, like, you know, bright white hair. And
yeah, we should say, since we're spoiling it, just to get stuff out of the way. So we find out that woman in the flashback that was in the wedding dress was actually his aunt.
Yes.
And obviously at the time she was traumatized and she had just gotten married and her husband was being chased down and shot by arrows. But now she's this creepy, reserved woman that's always in the shadows. And
right.
Like this, you know, not a smirk, like a frown,
scowling.
Yeah, yeah, she's just always looking angry. And so that event really messed with her and turned her into this crazy person that is now all about this family
right.
tradition. And so that would be their uncle for a very short period of time. Their uncle is
so,
the one
okay,
getting...
we'll get into that because I have questions
okay.
about that whole situation. So the wedding goes off without a hitch. Everything's going great. I do love the interaction. Grace is just, she is such a compelling character to watch on screen because like
so
you
likeable.
See her she's so likable. You see her interact with Andy McDowell who, initially you're just telling you're like Andy McDowell is kind of like, look man, I've been where you are. Mm-hmm. I know how awkward this is. Like, just if we get through this, we'll be fine.
She's really good, and you could tell that she genuinely cares about Grace and likes her as a person. We find out later she says I like her. I mean, it's like we find out later on in the movie why the family's doing this and feels like they have to do this, but not everyone, they're not just like sadistic twisted people, like, you know what I mean, like a lot of these people here are they even like Grace and are fine with it, but when push comes to shove and this card gets pulled, they have certain things that they're relying on, like it's that or the alternative is death that we'll get into. So we find out a lot of these characters really do like her and they have a lot of great conversations. Some are kind of contentious, like the father is very much like, oh, you've only been dating 18 months.
They say
whatever.
Like the courtship needs to be like 3 years and then you get engaged and then blah blah blah, but they've been dating for like a year and a half or something.
Yeah, 18 months.
But Annie McDowell is very welcoming and open, so you get both sides of this around Grace, and but she is still very much an outsider to this family.
Correct. So the wedding goes off, everything goes off great, and then finally Alex
to consummate the marriage. And...
Well, I don't think they go like they're going to like right. even Alex is like, look, I got to tell you something. And she's having none of it. And then all of a sudden, like she kind of looks to the side and there's creepy aunt.
So, right. creepy.
So creepy. And she was like, Jesus
Christ.
They do
one of those cuts where it's like romantic and you see the two of them and the camera moves and all of a sudden
right.
it just
there
moves
she is.
Right to her in the shadows.
Yeah. Right. So this is where Alex kind of says like, look, this is the deal. Like we have to play a game at midnight and then we're good to go. And so, and like Grace is just kind of like, so she says, that's it. Like, and then I'm in. And he's like, yes. And then you're in and everything's fine. And we will leave this place and we'll never come back. And
it's more important than the wedding.
Right.
He says to her. So like, that's it. You don't know what game it's going to be. And we find out later, some people play checkers. Some people play backgammon. So there are all these games because this family that we haven't mentioned, but if you've seen trailers, you know, this family she's marrying into, the Laudamas, is a gaming empire.
Right.
They show in I like the opening credits a lot.
Like gaming, like board games.
Board games.
Yes.
Yeah.
Casinos.
Well, no, yeah.
No,
right.
No, right.
When I hear gaming, my first thought was they own casinos.
Gotcha.
And
gotcha.
So that's, I'm just.
Sure, sure. Yeah. And so they go by, the opening credits are really cool with all the old games that they created for this movie. And you see all those in the beginning. And then we find out also the dad, after making his family made all this money, he bought 4 sports teams. And so the family's all about games. And
right.
so this tradition is like, after the wedding, you're not a part of their family until you play this game. But the big deal is that we eventually find out is there's one card in there. That if you pull it and it's hide or seek, it's you either before dawn kill the person that pulls the card or the family dies in mysterious ways.
Right. Well, then that's the bone of contention is that like some of them are just like it's bullshit. Like,
yeah,
it just happens by accident. And, you know, somebody, you know,
that's the mystery of it.
Right.
It's like, oh, this family, they burn
up in a fire.
Yeah. And
like, that's what they told you on the news.
Yeah.
So they circle around the table and they're all the dad kind of explains what the game is. And it turns out that like the great, great grandfather came over on a boat, met this man, made a deal with the guy. And it turns out that like the guy may or may not have been the devil.
Right. That's,
you know,
yeah.
like that's the theory is that. So
he said he will finance if they figure out how to use this box,
right.
that he will finance anything, any endeavor of the families. But that's his stipulation is
right.
that if someone pulls the hide and seek card, they have to play this game.
So,
and they also have to do the goat sacrifices too, I think.
Yes,
yeah,
correct.
There's also a demonic spiritual sacrifice ritual, you know, a little thing, but they have to play a game.
They have to play
a
game, yeah. And I do like that, you know, so some of the other, like the husbands and wives of the brothers and sisters are like, yeah, we played checkers or we played, you know, whatever.
Old maid.
Yeah,
yeah,
right.
What is old maid? we find out that since Andy McDowell has joined the family, it's only happened one time, and it was that flashback with the
right.
aunt. So it's not like it happens a lot. Everyone else is married in, and obviously these couples are there because the game has been a normal game.
Been in their favor.
And so it's not anything that a lot of them, and especially all these new people to the family, none of them have ever experienced or had to do this. And so Alex he's worried, but he doesn't expect that this is actually going to happen. No one's seen this since they were kids.
And
so
then she pulls the card,
which of course, I mean, obviously we're here at this movie, so we
right.
know it's going to happen.
Right, right,
but
right.
you know, the main thing is he hasn't explained it to Grace. Like, he's hoping it will just be
go
normal
away.
And yeah.
Right. And so they pull the hide and seek card. And of course everybody's like, oh boy, like it's game on. And except for Dan and Alex are both like, I don't want anything to do with this, but like Dan is kind of a broken person.
Well, Dan's been traumatized. So in that flashback when he hides Alex, you know, he said he's the one that said he's here and
right.
had to turn on
his uncle,
his new uncle, and see someone shot with arrows in front of him. And obviously he went and saw the sacrifice because he talked about slaughtering goats and everything later in the movie. So, I mean, this whole time you can tell he drinks a lot and he's very disconnected from his wife and his family. And he's very much a broken man. And Adam Brody does a great job.
Oh, he's great. He's fantastic. Yeah, he's so much fun. He's fun to watch in this movie.
Yeah. He's funny, but he also is very serious. I mean, his portrayal of this broken person, I mean, you can see it in his eyes, and the performance is really good.
Right. So they kind of, you know, Alex explains, he's like, you got to go hide. He's like, and she goes, so what happens? She says to the dad, she being Grace, says like, what happens? And he's like, well, how do I win? And he's like, well, I mean, you got to survive till dawn. And she was like, all right.
Yeah, the whole time, and we should say that the family is keeping this a secret as far as the hunting her part. They're all playing it off like, oh, it's hide and seek. That's the game, and there's smiles and everything. And she's like, oh, is anyone actually going to hide until dawn? I don't think so. And he's like, yeah, probably not. Like, yeah, right. You know, but all in a joking kind of a way.
Right, right.
But she doesn't know she's being sent off to her doom, basically. Correct. Like, of course they're going to find her and kill her before dawn in their minds.
That's the plan.
Because she's like, I'm kind of outnumbered, aren't
you? And he's like, yeah, you are. So they send her out. And she goes to find a hiding spot, which I thought she jumps into like a
dumbwaiter.
And she's kind of sitting there. And then, of course, they keep Alex locked away because they're like, look, you don't want to be a part of this. Like, we get that. They tell Dan's wife to just stand by the door and just make sure he doesn't come out.
We should say that also Alex is very disconnected from the family.
He's
ever since this experience as a kid, he's felt, I mean, he's not down with all this stuff. He has, you know, not been socializing with them for a while now, and so their plan is after the wedding is to leave and not talk to the family. He says that to Grace before the wedding, like he's not wanting to come back into the family, and his family wants him to. So that's why I think they isolate him, because they know he's not down with it, and they just want him to stay away from it all. And,
you know. And that's kind of, and he doesn't explain to Grace like what the deal is at all. So the game starts, she hides, and this is where everybody's getting their weapons. They give the husband from the, actually that guy's from Orphan Black, who played one of the husbands. Who's just a big dope.
He's funny. Yeah. Yeah. He was on Comedy Bang Bang.
Fitch. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
He was, he's a really funny guy, and he was just on Comedy Bang Bang with Tatiana Maslany. Orphan Black.
Yeah.
The two of them always go on together, and, it's
a good show.
Great episodes when they're on together. So he was talking
about Orphan Black.
Oh, yeah. Well, Comedy Bang Bang is great, too.
Sure.
He plays Fitch Bradley, and they're asking him on there, like, clearly Bradley being alluding to Milton Bradley, you know.
Right.
Even though he married into the family, it's like they're keeping the gaming. I thought that was a funny nod.
It was a good little nod. So they take off, and they're all looking for her, and she's found a pretty good spot, because they are not they haven't even touched, you know, looking for her. Oh, we should say that they go back to the times of, like, their great-grandfather. So they turn off all the security cameras. They don't use, like, you know, special weapons. The phones are off. Everybody's phones are turned off.
I really liked the hunting lodge. I liked the way they set that up. The dad pulls her in before the game starts and said, this is for family members only. And they open the big Ludomus doors. And then, you know, it's like a fireplace and the trophy animals and the guns everywhere. They just did a really cool job of styling this as this old, creepy,
it's interesting.
Crazy.
So I went back. These guys, the writers or the directors of this, I think, did a VHS short.
Okay.
And then I think they did another one called the Devil's Advocate. They did something else. It's like these guys have worked together before.
Okay.
And I think this is kind of like the culmination of their, you know, like you're testing your waters with the VHS short, you're doing another feature, but this is kind of like they're coming to me. This is their coming out party.
Yeah. I think they'll be getting some more work after this.
Yeah, definitely. Devil's Do is that. Is
thank
the movie
thank
making.
You. Yes, yeah. Exactly. So she kind of like, this is where the movie kind of picks up the pace a little bit.
I also like the way that they wrote her character talking to herself and just being a normal person. I mean, again, she's very relatable in the way she's like, oh, this is how I'm going to spend my wedding. How do you spend your wedding night? Oh, in a dumbwaiter and playing high. You know, like, I really like that they made her a normal, relatable person. Obviously, she's the audience's, you know.
She does a good job of, like, the conceit of this movie is pretty dumb.
Yeah.
That she would go along with this.
Yeah. Right.
And so she does a really good job of conveying that she's going along with this dumb idea, but that she's not dumb.
Right.
Yeah.
And
she's resourceful.
It would be very easy to play it even inadvertently as like she's stupid for having agreed, where she's more just like, I will humor you.
Right.
I will humor this aspect of your family because I love you.
Right.
Yeah.
And so this is dumb, but in the grand scheme of things, relatively harmless, she thinks.
Yeah.
And so I will play along if, you know, because his position is this is kind of the only crazy ask and then they're done. And so it's like, you know, so but it would be real easy for her to come off as stupid for having agreed to it or an airhead.
Right.
And she does not.
No,
it's very
not
believable.
She also wants the in-laws to like her. She wants the family to like her too. That's the other big part of it.
Yeah.
So
I think the way
seems stupid.
Yeah, it's very believable. Again, I never questioned that part for a second. I mean, you believe the husband, Grace and Alex, you believe their romance, you believe they love each other, you believe that she wants to be accepted because she feels like an outsider, and this is what the family does. And so, it's set up very well, and like Tom says, I mean, she's just a normal person where you're like, yeah, if I was in this situation, it would suck and it'd be silly,
right,
but
right.
I get it. She's dealing with it, and then they're done, and then that's it.
I'm finished with it.
Yeah.
So she gets out of the dumbwaiter, and then she's kind of like creeping around. I do like, she's like, you know what? F this. And just kind of like, and she's saying things out loud that we would, you know, and she's a little tipsy at this point because, you know, she's had a wedding and all that stuff. So she kind of like stumbles out of the dumbwaiter, and her dress gets caught. So she's like pulling on that.
I'm so glad she took the heels off. I'm like,
I know,
yeah. Get those things off.
I got to tell you, though, that I loved that look.
Yeah.
Of like the kicks and then like the torn up wedding dress. Like, I like that look.
When she tears the wedding dress, it's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. I like. It's interesting they kept her in that. When she said she was going to go put her face on, I thought she was also going to get into normal clothes. And I think it's really cool they kept her in a wedding dress the entire movie.
Yeah.
And it's like John McClane's shirt in Die Hard.
It is.
It's this, I think, I mean, it's like pure inspiration from that, where his white tank gets dirtier throughout the whole thing.
I remember when I got married, we were leaving the reception hall. And Leanne was like starting to have a panic attack because we were sitting in the car, but like she couldn't breathe because that dress was so tight.
Yeah.
So like she's got her back to me, and was I driving? I don't remember. Either way, I'm like trying to pull like the strings off the back of her dress so she doesn't have a massive panic attack in the back of this car. So I like when she says like when they're messing around for the first time, she's like, oh, this is so tight, and I was like, well, okay, obviously we're gonna lose the dress, but we don't. Mm-hmm. But it is just like, and I will say, like, as that dress loses its pieces, like her character, it's to me like the tearing of the bottom, then her character changes, the tearing of the arm, and then her character changes again. So like the more she's losing of that dress, and the dirtier it's getting, like, to me that was a signal that the character has like, okay, so once we tear the bottom off, she's a little bit more of a badass. And then we tear the arm off, and she's even more of a badass.
I want to ask Aaron from a female's perspective, because it's funny that you analyzed it that much, and I did the same thing, where I'm like, so you have a wedding dress, you know, traditionally a bride has a dress, and it's this symbolism of femininity, and it's this beautiful gown, and it's getting torn and dirty, and she's kicking ass, and she's a totally competent woman. And so I noticed that exact same thing, and I thought, this is really cool symbolism for a silly, goofy, right, crazy movie. And what do you think, Aaron, about how they presented that?
Well, I loved that. And even the color of the dress changes, and it gets darker. Well, of course, because of blood too, but dirt and stuff. But she just gets stronger and stronger. And the image of when she puts the, you know, the bullets over her and stuff, and
yes,
she's carrying the rifle,
so good.
That was just so cool. That was like, to me, like out of a comic book or something. Like, she could be like a superhero.
Yes.
But I mean, because she was already a strong character in my mind. She never seemed like a weak, passive character. But she just got stronger and stronger and more independent. I think that was the thing you really saw, was she was completely independent. She wasn't just relying on her husband to save her. She was saving herself, and, you know, which I thought was, which is always great to see from a female standpoint. Although I think horror does that anyway for women. I think horror usually has a lot of strong female characters. But yeah, watching that sort of empowerment of like getting out of those almost like binds of marriage, she's kind of slowly loosening those and getting out of that. And
yeah, I think
becoming
the idea
more independent.
The idea of the final girl has always been, I mean, and probably going back to Jamie Lee Curtis, to me, is like the first final girl, and that then her character does change. Like, if you know, if you watch even the characters in the Friday the 13th, as bland as those characters can be, you know, they're just there for fodder.
Is Sarah Connor a final girl?
I think Sarah Connor is absolutely a final
girl. If you think about that first movie, it's the same exact structure of a horror movie.
It is a sleeker version.
It's a sci-fi, but it's still, she's being chased.
Ripley's a final girl.
Yeah.
Like, so even the Friday the 13th movies, those characters, those final girls start out as kind of not mousy, but, you know, for the most part,
squeaky
they're almost
clean.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
And there almost has to be an aspect of damsel in distress, because
sometimes
they are in distress. It's just a horror movie. I almost feel like it was an accident of structure, in that they can spin the entire movie as a damsel in distress, but at the end of the day, you can't let the bad guy win.
Right.
So.
Right.
Or have a guy save her. That's the thing. They can always have the white knight, you know, on his stallion ride in and save her, or she can save herself. And that's what's cool about the horror genre. And I'm right there with Aaron in this movie, and they do it on purpose. They show her looking at herself in the mirror. I mean, it's a moment that they give a couple minutes to. Mm-hmm. And when you see her put on the gun belt and look in the mirror and with the torn dress, it's a badass, like,
oh yeah,
that's like a cell phone wallpaper, you know, like it's it's cool. Yeah. Yeah. Amazing. I love that.
I think I can count on one hand how many times they've had like a final dude and it doesn't, like, so the Friday the 13th remake.
Sexist.
I'm just saying, like, for whatever reason, that formula doesn't. So Jared Padalecki, Sam from Supernatural, is the hero of the Friday the 13th remake. So it's, and I love that remake. I think it's really well done. But there is something missing when the guy, I mean, he's saving his sister. That's the whole premise of his character being there. So, but there is something missing where he's the one who's, I mean, I guess the sister, spoilers for the 2009 remake of Friday.
Oh, boy, I was going to watch that tonight.
You should watch it. It's great. But like the sister's the one who delivers the final blow that kills Jason.
Hot.
I'm just waiting for Tom. Whenever.
But Jared Padalecki is the one who's leading the charge up until the very end. So, and then the
second Nightmare on Elm Street one.
Thank you very much. Which is like regarded as one of the very first like homosexual leads. Yeah.
Which one is this?
Nightmare 2.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Does Crispin Glover do a dance in this movie?
That's Friday the 13th Part 6.
Part 6?
There's actually a documentary coming out about the actor in Nightmare on Elm Street 2. And it's talking about that and how that movie kind of ruined his life in a lot of ways, ruined his career. And
It was not intended to be like a gay movie.
Like that Billy Squire video.
Kind of, yes. But when you
seen it. What makes it gay? Yeah.
So he's gay.
Like, oh, okay. The character's like literally gay.
The actor is gay.
Okay.
And he is the lead in this movie. And there's a relationship with his best friend. And so like it subversively, it is definitely like a gay character.
So you read it as
it's all subtext.
Yeah.
It was not
intended to be.
They
that
never
way.
Come out and say it. It's
they
just,
never gotcha. Come out. Like there's scenes where like so he's got a girlfriend in the movie, but he's just like, yeah, I think I'd rather go hang out with the friend. And everybody's just kind of like, what? All right. So like it's a very subversive movie that gained like it didn't. I don't think it did very well, but then it found its second life on VHS and people kind of like started championing it because of what it represented. And those are like the only two that I can think of where the male lead is the hero in a slasher movie. Oh, Sydney. Nev Campbell's the final girl.
Right? Yeah.
She keeps coming back. Yeah. So she gets out of the dumbwaiter.
She sees one of the nannies, right? There's like three nannies that are taking care of the young boys now.
Yeah.
Georgie escapes.
Yes.
And so she's like, Georgie, come here. And that's how
she's hiding. Like she's just
running away. She runs into their bedroom, Alex's childhood bedroom. And she runs into there and it's one of those intense, you know, the music ramps up and she's in there, Georgie, where are you? And she's looking over the bed. And all of a sudden you hear one of the family members like, I found her.
and they blow her brains out. But so Alex is there with her though. Cause remember like Alex grabs her and he's like, look, I have to tell you this. Yeah. And then of course the nanny gets shot. And I do like the running gag where people are just like, she was my favorite.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Like they keep talking about the nanny's like, oh, I like that one.
And I also love the running gag of the horrible sister that's always coked up. The one that's married to Fitch.
Yes. Yes.
She's always on drugs. She's coked up. She's taking pills. She's always, and then she's freaking out after they find out that she's killed the nanny.
Why does this always happen to me?
And Fitch is like, here, let's go smoke some marijuana to even you out. Or like we've already seen her taking pills and doing
I do
coke
like when we first meet the sister. Grace kind of like wipes her nose.
Yeah, yeah.
And she was like, come on, man. Like, what are
you
doing?
She was going to be like a nice one, but she's in it just like the other ones. But she's a goofball.
So Alex kind of pulls her away and he pulls her into like the servant hallways and she's freaking out. And he was like, look, I'm really sorry. Like, I tried to tell you. I like the line where she's like, I tried to give you an out. And she's like, are you saying this is my fault? Yeah. He's like, no, that's not what I'm saying. So I really enjoyed. I've been in plenty of fights where it's like, I have the best intentions of what I'm trying to say to you.
Yeah.
And I understand looking back on it that what I said was not.
Yeah, I'm glad that he didn't like that. He's like,
well, that Midsommar scene is based on you.
It really is. Yeah. Yeah. Wait, which one? The Will Poulter suit?
The one? Yeah, the one where you're dressed like a bear. Yeah.
That's just how I look.
Yeah.
Can you? I cannot. I don't think I could do like a 3.5 hour cut of that movie.
Gotta do it. Gotta see what's up.
Man, oh man. Oh, that movie stuck.
They're adding
with me
a
like,
half an hour to the director's cut, I think, is the word.
That movie stuck with me like flapjacks to my ribs. Ooh. Yeah. So he's like, look, you need to go this way. Go that way to the end of the hall. Take a left. Go into the servant's kitchen. I will go this way. Turn off the security cameras. Unlock all the doors. And just go. Get out of here.
And I really like the way that she plays this. I mean, she plays this like a normal person freaking out about what is happening, what is going on.
She doesn't
mad
instantly
at him.
Go into action hero
no,
mode.
No, it's like she is a badass and she's a strong character, but she also being thrown into this because she's all happy and going along with it in the first part, and then she's freaking out on him because, right. Like, what are you doing? And he's like, be quiet. It's a very realistic, for as crazy as the situation is, you'd imagine that people would react this way. And I also like that you see her character get more freaked out. I mean, she is strong throughout, but she's also getting more, like, psychologically tormented. Like, by the time you get to the end, she's seen some stuff.
Yes.
And you actually see the character going through that and changing as
that
it goes
last
on.
Line of the movie. Got the biggest laugh from me. Like,
there's
that,
a lot of
that, yeah.
This movie, I will say, there's a lot of blood. There's obviously killing and things like that, but it is not your typical horror. It's more funny than scary. I should say it's not a scary movie.
No. There's no jump scares.
It's more of an action thriller.
Yes.
There's gore and horror elements that you think of killing and being chased, but it's not your, if you're like a horror buff that wants to see a bunch of scares, and it's not that.
I think
it's,
if you're a horror buff, this will be right up your alley.
I think you'd like it.
I think you'll like it,
but it's not.
But if you go in expecting a horror movie, you're going to be disappointed.
Aaron, you're a horror gal, right?
Yeah, I love horror.
Well, she was going toe to toe with you.
I know that's true.
I mean, what more proof does she need to provide you? She need to show you like ticket stubs?
No, you don't know. It's okay. So, but like, you agree though that this is, if you're a horror nerd, like, I feel like this slides right into that genre without being scary.
Oh, it definitely does. Yeah.
Exactly.
Does.
I just want to put that out there. That
I think of like Shaun the Dead.
It's not
like
scary.
It has all the aspects of a horror movie, except there's nothing scary about
right.
it.
And I like that. It's like, go ahead.
Although I did hear some people when we were walking out yesterday saying that they did find it scary, that they found parts scary. They said it was so great because it was a combination of it was actually scary and that it was funny. I wasn't scared, but... So there are people that are scared by it, I guess.
Maybe
so.
Non-horror people that aren't used to it.
Or pussies.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Because this was not a scary movie.
I think the jump scares at the end.
Yeah, it's got all the trappings of a scary movie, like because it like feels like a haunted house.
Right.
And it's a guy. It's and there's gore. It's like,
on the whole, it's just not a scary movie.
And I don't. I don't think
that's what they were intending.
Right, that's not a critique. I don't think that they were attempting to make a scary movie.
This is a thriller, comedy, suspense, horror movie, like in that order. You know, like if you're going to put horror on, it's at the end. The elements are there, but you're not going to be. I mean, even like Scream is a scarier movie than this. You know,
Scream definitely has jump
scary
scares.
Movie is a scarier movie.
Right. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, for different reasons, but yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So we got one of those nannies down.
Right. Just real
point.
Quick, I looked it up. Nightmare 2 made $30 million on a $3 million budget.
Well, so it was a hit.
So it was a hit. The previous one, for point of reference, because I was curious, like, but was it comparatively? The first one made $25 million on a $1.8 million budget.
That's the old New Line formula. New Line back then was the house.
Yeah.
I've never seen any of those movies past like the first ones. I've seen Friday. I've seen Nightmare.
Two
but...
works. I like if like two is two. You should watch just to see. Like, there's some BDSM in there that wasn't originally intended to be BDSM, but you're just like, that's absolutely what we're doing.
All right, keep going. You haven't sold me yet, but what
but it's,
other...
it's worth a watch. Like, so, but
you should
I think...
watch New Nightmare.
Yeah,
yeah. I've never seen that, but I hear people talk that up. Not growing up with them and knowing there's 20 of these things. Like, am I going to watch them all to Nightmare 7?
Dream Warriors is the money one.
Okay.
To me, 4.
Because it's got Dawkins.
Damn right. Yeah. So that's
is that the one
me,
with the Goo Goo Dolls when they were a metal band?
No, that's New Nightmare, I think.
Is it?
I think so. Maybe Freddy's Dead.
Okay.
I still think Halloween 78 is one of the best horror movies ever made. I think that's
one of the best
masterpiece.
Movies ever made.
I really, with Roger Deakins, it's not Deakins, I'm sorry.
Dean Cundey.
Dean Cundey's cinematography, the pacing, the music, like, I found that later in life. I watched it so we could review it on Patreon.
So wonderful.
Aaron, I don't know if you listened to that one, but there's a Patreon of us doing Halloween. Yeah, I watched it for the first time, was blown away by how good
it's
the original
so good.
Halloween is.
And now here we go. We got two more coming in the next 2 years.
Yeah.
It was Freddy's Dead.
I wrote a whole paper on Halloween in film school, actually, analyzing it. Nice. Analyzing it against the hero's journey kind of thing.
Oh, for sure. That makes complete sense.
Great
her.
Movie.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And you questioned.
I didn't.
You've seen a horror movie before.
I will not do that again. I feel like there've also been
Joe,
some.
Are you a horror person?
Joe, could you show us the paper you wrote?
It was nope. No, I wrote a review for a movie.
He's like rolling papers.
Me think Halloween be good.
Yeah, Halloween good movie.
Me likey.
So he kind of like he's like, look, you go that way, I'll go this way. And I do like where she's like, don't leave me.
Exactly.
And he's like, I have to go this way.
It's such a trope. And I like that she is like, no, because in real life, think about leaving your significant other. Like, my whole family's trying to kill you, but I'm going to go this way. Yeah. You go like
this time. Yes.
Right. Yeah. Well,
but the first time.
No.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah. Right. So she kind of collapses. Like, she gets down the hallway and she kind of collapses in this room. And this is the scene where she tears off the bottom of the dress because it's all torn up. Yeah. And they reveal
she's
like,
getting
the,
mad at it. It's tripping her up. She tears it.
Right.
She's
so
angry.
It's and, like it comes to like right below her knees.
I love it
with the chucks. This,
yeah. With the short chucks.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, they're tall chucks.
No.
Yeah, they were tall chucks.
They were?
But she's got them like
folded
like,
over.
Actually, that's how I wear them. Is like they're not laced to the top. They're laced
okay.
To like,
maybe that's why.
Like to the ankle.
Okay.
And then they're flipped over.
It was a cool look though.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, I wonder if Halloween people wear a
I
cut off
see this
wedding
is,
dress.
I could see this being
when they had that shot of her where it's tore up. She's got on the tennis shoes and the bullets
belt,
and the And I was just I was like, if this movie's a hit, I see lots of cosplay.
I can see this
of this kind
very
of stuff.
Very much so.
But
well, I would do it. I'd do it in a heartbeat. I mean, I'm making a Elton John costume thing for something.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm going to be. But I would totally do that.
Yes. That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's going to be like a 40s superhero. It's going to be Rocketeer Man.
Rocketeer Man.
Sign me up.
That's pretty good.
My only concern, but thought about that look is that she doesn't hold it very long.
The bullets.
She loses the bullets almost instantly because they're not
real. They're
not real,
yeah.
So she ditches them. But
Butler guy. So annoying.
So she kind of, she accidentally goes out the, so that.
Has she found the second one that's now hiding in the dumbwaiter
that's
yet?
The third one.
Oh, that was the third one?
That was the third one.
How does the second one go?
The crossbow? Is that
it's the, Finch gives his wife, the idiot sister, the crossbow. And he shoots. Because
she had shot the other one, so he's like,
that's
you
the
use
scene.
The, yeah.
That, so they go into like the game room. He's like, no, you use the crossbow. And then all of a sudden, here comes the other one.
And I like how the family is all freaking out and falling apart and frantic.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. Again, you see this killer movie, and you look at movies like, what's the one where like all the people have the animal masks and they're trying to kill people?
So there's Your Next.
There's Your Next,
which
yeah.
Is the and then there's the Strangers.
The Strangers. And it's like, so you see all
No. Okay, so Your Next is the animal masks.
Okay.
The Strangers was like the
weird,
like the sack mask.
Okay. So you get these groups of people that are killers in traditional horror movies, and you never get any, like,
they're
like
really,
real people.
But they're really good at it.
Yeah,
like,
they're just like...
Like, everything's systematic and perfect.
In
and,
fairness, in Your Next, they explain why she's good at it.
Okay, but my point is, like, in these horror movies, usually the killers are the killers, and they're expert killers, and they do their thing. And this movie, because we know they're a race against the clock, either they die or they kill her, and so they're screwing up, and the dad's like, God, he's getting mad, and they're frantic, and he's like, we've lost her, and they're getting... You just don't see that, and it's refreshing, it's funny. It was just... It made the movie that much more entertaining, that this family is falling apart, being foiled at every turn by this... One girl that didn't even know what's going
on, right?
Like,
well, like in Your Next, spoilers. We did an episode on it. In our defense, the family set it, like the brother set it all up, but it turns out like Aaron, who's the main character of that movie, was like she was raised as like a survivalist, so she turns that whole place into like a rated R Home Alone. You know, so like that they explain that very early in the movie.
Yeah.
And then, of course, when all hell breaks loose, she's like, nope, we're going to put nails in this thing. We're going to tie this axe to this thing. We're going to do all this stuff. So she has already established that she's a badass, where Grace is like just picking up skills as she. It's almost like a video game where like her character leveled up.
Yeah.
And she had, you know, different skills that
she
acquired.
But, you know, she's still getting hurt. She's still falling into things.
Yeah.
Like she's still a normal person that, like, we're used to, oh, now she's the hero, so she's invincible. Not in this one.
She's getting beat up. She's getting shot.
A stigmata.
I feel like they're making all the right choices for this character
for sure.
Balancing realistic but with fun,
zany-ness. You know? So, yeah, so they shoot the, they accidentally kill the second maid.
Heads
like,
or tails.
Where the dad goes, oh, man, I like that one.
Yeah.
So that is a running gag. They're walking out with the body, and then she kind of stumbles out the wrong door. And Adam Brody's just like, great. And you can tell that Brody doesn't want anything to do with this. But, of course, there she is. And is this where he says...
The stupid sister comes and shoots at them. Like she.
Oh, yeah, she comes around the other side.
She's trying to prove herself and shooting, but she's shooting all around. And
and they all freak out.
She just runs away.
Grace runs away. Yeah, Grace runs into the kitchen. We see Alex, who has gotten into the control room, and he's got everything turned back on. The doors are open. The cameras are on. Everything's back to being where it needs to be. Grace has a really tense moment right here where, like, the butler is inside the kitchen.
Apparently he wants to be a conductor of classical music.
Yeah, with singing and everything.
Yeah, right. So...
I really wanted that. We mentioned earlier the gun she has with the cool gun belt is fake for display. I really wanted it to be real, and I wanted that stupid butler to confront her and not think she would shoot him, and she just blows
him
out
the window.
Well, I
thought he'd be like, oh, no, they're fake. And then they're not fake. Like, yeah.
Yeah, I was just waiting for her to blow that guy away, and unfortunately.
But instead, she smashes a boiling pot of tea into
his
face.
Cool,
which
was like,
cool, because
he's like, ha, yeah.
So she takes off.
I thought that was better than if they had been working. I don't know.
Yeah,
it gave her more to do and more of a...
Yeah, it's kind of subverted expectations, too. It would have been a cool moment, but again, with him being like, I've got you now, and she's like, nope, I've got your tea kettle.
Smash.
Yeah.
So she takes off. She gets out the door, and she's gone. Then Adam Brody kind of gets into the control room and starts to kind of play up, like, look, I'm with you. Like, I don't want to do this either. And then all of a sudden, the dad clocks Alex in the back of the head. And the dad kind of confronts Daniel. Yeah. He's just kind of like, whose side are you on? He's like, I distracted him, didn't I?
Yeah. But you get the feeling, like, we know and we hope deep down that he's...
There are moments, I mean, throughout the entire movie where you think he's going to turn. And
well, I think he's legitimately conflicted. He doesn't want this to happen to her, but he does also believe...
He doesn't
want to
die.
...that he's going to die if it doesn't happen.
Right.
And so, I think that back and forth is the character going back and forth.
Sure.
It's not, you know, it's not like them hiding his true beliefs. He knows what his true beliefs are.
He said it.
Yeah.
She said, I knew you'd save me. And he said, I didn't.
Yeah.
Later on, it's really cool the way that
he's a good actor. Like he doesn't that dude was almost the Flash.
Yeah.
In the George Miller Justice
League.
Which one? The George Miller Justice League. He was going to be Barry
Allen.
There's
so many
to
choose from.
Put those guys in the crisis in, you know, thing that for the movie that never got made. So she kind of takes off and he's like, they see her running towards the North Gate.
Yeah. Oh, and this is another
this is
one.
A pretty gnarly scene.
She's trying to get through the gate. She bends the rebar or whatever back.
She pops it off.
Yeah.
And then she has to like squeeze her way through.
Cause there's a car coming. So she wants to get out in the middle of the road. So she has to just have it scrape against her.
And it's not scrape. Like it's a gash.
It's cutting
like,
into
across her back.
It's gnarly.
It's pretty gross.
Before that though, when the kid, Georgie, when
pit.
She ran into Georgie.
I was trying to think of that.
Was this before?
Yeah, that was before because she got shot in the hand before.
That's right. You're right. So she runs into like a, she crashes into a barn and we see like the black goats, which are just like, I mean, I've seen enough movies to like, okay, devil goats. I get it.
Right. Yeah.
I'm with you.
The Vavitch.
Yeah. Right. And we see Georgie, who is Fitch's and the sister's son.
Stupid Georgie.
Oh my God.
I love when she's just so mad.
And
at
she
him
shoots
too.
Him. He shoots her. Yeah. You know, he's just like, oh, I'm so glad, like, we got to get out of here. And, of course, he shoots her.
He pulls
her
up. He found
the sister's gun.
The gun. The revolver.
And shoots her in the hand. And then, of course, she punches Georgie right in the face.
She just clocks him. It's like, I mean, obviously, we don't condone violence against kids. But when they shoot you,
you're allowed
to
punch them in the face.
Because,
you get an asterisk.
Right.
When they shoot you, you get to knock them out.
Right. So she kind of stumbles backwards and falls into this pit and immediately throws up because there's goats and we see the body of the uncle with the arrows in his chest. And I do like super Hitchcock where they show you this nail at the very top. And I was like, yep. I know where we're going.
Best use of a nail since A Quiet Place.
Yeah, that's true.
Chekhov's nail.
This is going to suck.
Best use of a nail since Passion of the Christ.
Is, All right.
Too soon?
No, it's fine. That's fair.
But this is great. The way that she has to use it, she's climbing up a ladder with one hand. It's breaking under her, and she grabs the ledge at the last moment, but she can't pull herself up with one hand. And so we see that nail, and we know it's on the side where her hand has been shot through.
Right.
And she has to use it to latch onto.
She puts the nail through the bullet hole.
And the sound effects.
Yeah.
And it is all top notch. Foley artists. Clap.
Yeah, well done.
Slow clap. Bravo.
Well done. So she pulls herself up, and then this is where we get...
And then pulls it off. And
right.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
She pulls it. This is where the next costume change, where she pulls the arm off of her dress and wraps it around her hand. So then she takes off to the gate.
That's when she goes.
Right. And she pulls the piece of rebar off, cuts the bejesus out of her back.
Oh.
And I do like
rich people.
See? That's a great line where she's like, the car pulls up and it's just like a spoiled rich kid.
Rich people.
Yeah. And he takes off.
This rich guy sees this bloody bride in the middle of the road. He's like, get out of the road. And his Porsche.
She's just like effing rich people.
Yeah. A lot of laughs from those little under her breaths.
You can deliver those lines in a certain way, but the way she delivers them is great.
All understated and just like it's funny. Yeah.
So we cut back to the house and we see that they have handcuffed Alex to the bed, and this is where the aunt kind of speaks up and she's just like, look, you know, he and I were the closest and blah, blah, blah. Like he's coming back into the fold.
I guess he must have been the older brother. Why would he take over?
Because they are saying that he's the one that was going to lead. Like Daniel wasn't going to be
why?
The one.
That's what I didn't.
Because he saw
the ghost. Saw the guy. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He saw the benefactor, whoever, Mr.
LeBeau or whatever.
Crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. And she just kind of like, he was the one who was going to take over. He'll find his way back. She's like, if I would have known what I know now, I should have killed the husband, whoever she had married that day.
Because she's crazy town. She's way off the reservation.
Nutso. She's nutso.
Yeah.
Is this the scene where she hits the guy and the gal still dying? And she caves her face in with the axe. That's the scene where Alex and Grace kind of see what is actually happening. And the gal won't die. And then the aunt
it's
just
the
like
second one. It's the one it's they the shot with the
yeah,
arrow.
Yeah, right.
She's trying to talk, and it's played. It's very funny because
and then they cut the head off. The aunt cuts the head
off. Right. She chops
the
head off.
Give me that. She takes the axe. Shut up.
Yeah. It's kind of like the Paul Reubens scene in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, where like Buffy stabs him, but he won't die. So and that it's a running gag like after he's stabbed throughout the movie. So at this point. So she gets taken.
She's in the woods, and then the driver guy
and
goes
he shoots
after
her with a shoots her with a like a dart and knocks her out. And then everybody's like, "Oh, all right, like
he's
this is a great scene."
FaceTiming with them, and he puts it up on the dashboard, and for some reason doesn't disconnect the call and starts listening to his classical music.
And turns it up, and of course she attacks.
And
like,
I love
she wakes up.
I love them watching. Huddling around the phone or computer, and then she's in the background getting up, and then she's going to use her feet and just
smashes him.
And it cuts back to them. Oh,
yeah. It's a very And then of course she flips the car, and then he kind of I guess the butler dies.
We never see him again, so he's presumed
dead. Yeah.
But was it before that though? Didn't she take the car? He wasn't in there, and then she had that call.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Really
and then like the OnStar,
OnStar
guy,
road assist or whatever.
Right. Yeah. That's exactly
that's so
right.
So frustrating. Where I'm like, God.
She's like, she hits the OnStar button, and they're talking back and forth or whatever. And that's right. She strangles. She takes a piece of her dress, and she chokes out the butler, and she jumps in the car.
That's
always
frustrating that he was still alive because it's like she just.
But
I guess,
so like that's the brilliant part is she wouldn't know if she had lasted long. You know, if she had held on for five more seconds, she would have killed him. But she doesn't know,
right?
She hits the OnStar button, and the guy's just like, This car has been reported stolen.
I'm going to shut off the engine. Is there anything else I can do for you? Yeah, you can go F yourself.
Have
a good day. All
right, that's uncalled for.
Yeah,
but
there's no need for profanity.
Yeah, it was a very funny scene because that's how, you know, they have a script they have to read. And,
right. So she gets hit with the dart. They flips the car. She kind of gets away. And I guess the butler does survive because then here comes Adam Brody. Does Adam Brody kill the butler? Or is he just kind of like help her in?
He helps her or something at this point. This is what does he save her from the dad? Does he knock the dad out? My memory.
No,
is,
he doesn't. No, it's another double twist where you think
the dad's been watching.
Yeah,
they're like
and
hiding in the woods.
So
yeah.
he knocks.
Oh yeah.
Daniel knocks out Grace.
Oh.
And then here he's like, you can come out now. And the dad pops out, and he was just like, how'd you know I was there? He's like, I'm drunk, but not stupid.
That's, yeah.
So they, yeah, they take Grace into the house. This whole time, Alex is like trying to, he's chained up to the to this bedpost, and he's like wiggling the handcuffs.
The only thing I didn't like about this is like, if you have metal handcuffs on your wrist and you're doing it hard enough to chip away at a wooden
bedpost, yeah,
your arms or your hands are gonna be his bloody.
His wrist would be
and
a hamburger.
I wish they would have just showed the rubbing. It just
yeah
right.
You know,
so
Annie, metal.
Annie McDowell comes in and they have like a talk, and he was just like, fudge you. Mm-hmm. Like, we're leaving. Like, if we get out of here, and she's like, you know what's going to happen if we don't play this game? He's like, it's such bull.
She restates, she's like, I liked her too. Like, I really wanted this to work, but we're all dead.
Yeah. So they've got Grace captured, and they've got her tied up to like this pentagram, and they're all going to, they're wearing the, like the hoods or whatever. And they all take drinks from this thing. And then they all, it was very reminiscent of The Hateful Eight. When they all start puking blood.
Oh, yeah.
And they're just like, what is happening? And Adam Brody's like, you idiot.
Another double, triple twist. Right. Whatever, yeah.
He's like, you idiots. Like, this is, you know, he pulls her off the table. And she's like, I knew you would save me. He's like, and this is the line. He's like, I didn't.
He only poisoned them enough to be yeah. crapping
he goes,
funny
he
for
goes,
a
they're
week.
They're going to poop funny for a week, but they'll be fine. Yeah. So, and we get a little backstory on Daniel's wife where she's like, you know where I came from. Like, I will do whatever I have to not go back there.
Yeah.
And then, so they're getting away, and then Daniel gets shot in the neck. And this is a very touching scene where like,
the wife shoots him.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. In the throat.
Cause they're having a little standoff and she's like, I'm, you know, she's owning more of the family than he is. And yeah, shoots him right in the neck.
Right in the neck. And, so yeah, that's,
And then Grace struggles with her, gets the gun away or whatever.
Yeah, but she because everybody survived. So everybody survives until the last the end of the movie. So then Alex breaks free, and then they have a moment. Oh, I guess the mom, Annie McDowell and Grace
after she
have a
runs
throw
away.
Down.
Yeah, then she goes
she
and gets her in the
in like the game
room.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and she smashes her head. Like she takes the Grace gets the box and smashes
it was
in.
Great,
Annie
she pulled it on the tablecloth all
she
the way
like
across,
the
table,
across the table.
Grab
it,
and she beats the bejeez. I mean, this is.
And then in walks Alex.
This is like a Rambo machine gunning the guy's
it
head.
It really was,
but with a box smashing. I mean,
man, I can't wait for that.
But
anymore.
You know, but again, it's this. This is what I mean with like the digression of her going through all this stuff, and it's like, yeah, all these people are trying to kill you, and now you have this woman that just choked you out and almost killed you, and yeah, she's gonna go crazy on her. Like, what other, you know, she's traumatized.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of, I mean, it is believable that she would just keep smashing her with this box because she's so stressed out and freaked out.
Exactly. So Alex walks in and they have a moment where he's just kind of like, we're done. Like, you aren't going to be with me when this is over, are you?
Oh, this is the turn that
And then all of a sudden he goes, she's in here and grabs her.
I couldn't believe that he turned because I could tell that.
Well, they foreshadowed.
Oh, I knew he was going to. I knew he was going to from the very start.
And they foreshadowed it because the aunt was even like, no, he's the one that's going to take over the family.
She could, I mean, she could say that, but it's like, Alex, we've liked them so much. I mean, and you could tell he was a good guy, but then he realized that Grace wasn't going to be with him anyway. So then he's like, well, screw it.
Well, I'm not going to. Yeah. And then they even referenced that, like, maybe Alex does believe that this thing needs to be done. If you know what I mean? Like, maybe, so he's like,
well, clearly he does believe it. Because if he didn't believe it, he wouldn't have brought her back. He would have.
I guess that's true.
Because
he even says,
like, I've seen other family members blow this off because they think it's dumb and they've all died.
So
clearly he believes that this curse is real.
Sure.
And so he knows at this point it's her or him.
But it's great that he gets his comeuppance.
Oh, yeah.
So,
absolutely.
You know.
Yeah. But that's the thing. There is a character turn for him. Like, this is the turn. Like, he's been the, like, I'm really sorry. Yeah. I'm fighting with you. So they all attack and they kind of get her pinned down. And just as they're about to stab her,
she turns and gets in her shoulder and breaks free.
Right.
Because they're doing the ritual again.
And
I like it when Fitch
late.
Drinks the blood. Maybe it's the first time around they try to do the ritual, but he's like, ooh, he's great.
And then when she rolls off the table,
she grabs the knife, I think, out of her shoulder and is like,
and she's pointing at him, and then it's too late.
It's daylight.
The sun's up.
In the reveal, when they pull the curtain and they act like they're going to be vampires melting in the sun and they're covering their eyes.
And
so just,
everybody's waiting for the end. Like, and everybody's like, oh, like maybe it didn't.
Fitch is like, nothing's happening.
And then all of a sudden,
this is where it gets
This crazy. This is Cabin in the Woods right here, yeah. where they all just start exploding.
Yeah.
Just poof, poof.
No explanation.
Like all,
no,
all the family members start exploding, like yeah. big buckets of blood
yeah.
everywhere. She's covered. Like, they do great reaction shots where Grace is like reacting to
it's
getting
all,
like
yeah.
brains and all kinds of stuff blown in her face.
And going back to Taron Egerton, this is for Aaron, but it's like the end of Kingsman,
oh,
except
yeah.
with violence.
Right,
with,
right,
with
right.
gore, because yeah. you know, they and then they use fireworks or whatever, but like, if they didn't, this would be what it would be
yeah,
like.
Exactly.
Blood everywhere.
So,
and it's hilarious. This is,
yeah, this is great.
I mean, it's gruesome, but it's in a ridiculous way to
yeah.
where you can't help but to be amused. Like,
right.
they're exploding.
They're
like,
exploding out for no reason.
Pardon, yeah.
Yeah. So then,
because
Alex...
at first I thought someone came in to save the day with a shotgun and blew.
No.
But you don't see the first time. You're like, oh, who shot him? But then you realize there's no one there.
No, they're just yeah. getting, they're just blowing up.
Because I thought the curse was all BS and it was going to be like
right.
someone ended
they
up.
They went through all this
yeah,
for
yeah,
no
yeah.
reason.
Right, right,
yeah.
right. So then Alex is just kind of like, look, like, we made it. We're going to be okay. We're going to be great.
They saved me, obviously.
They saved me, blah, blah, blah. And then I like, she's like, Alex,
I want a divorce.
And throws,
and the,
throws
ring.
The ring, and then he blows up.
Oh, my
gosh. And so the house is on fire at this point. Yeah. She kind of, like, looks to the chair, and you see, like, the visage of Mr. LeBeau.
Mr. LeBing
and, like, gives her, Mr. LeBing Bong, and gives her, like, the nod.
Yeah.
So here's my, she's part of this family.
Right.
Why didn't she blow up?
Well,
well
she
because,
was the one
because
that...
she's the one. That's the focal point was, like, it's hide or seek. You either mm-hmm. you either get killed
okay.
or you're the winner.
Those are
so
the two
if
oh,
yeah.
she won,
so she won.
So she won.
Okay. Okay
yeah.
Because okay.
if she because she made it to Dawn. So
right. Okay.
Because if not, then it's not really a game, right? There's no way for her to win.
I was thinking
if you
like
go, if you go, well, you're a member of this family, so even if you win, you lose.
Right.
Well, that's not a game anymore.
Okay. That makes sense.
I hope she gets their whole fortune.
That's
well,
what
she
I was gonna
would.
Say. She's gonna yeah. get the whole thing.
She would get all
yeah.
the money because
right.
she's
she is. I'm just hoping that it all was like a real wedding, like not their crazy.
Yeah.
You know,
there was already
backyard.
Like a marriage license.
Yeah.
Yet, right?
I hope that it's official because that'd be so great if she gets through all this. She wins, takes all their fortune, the family's gone, like you
right.
just want them to get totally destroyed.
So she kind of like
then would she inherit the curse or the,
well,
you
if
know,
she,
the deal with the devil
I think she
then?
Would that's though because
but yeah. if she's divorced and out of the family
but,
she's not part of it
but no, she yeah. but she's still I mean I don't know
now
I,
we're, yeah no,
so, I mean yeah we,
I think
we're
why we need
I think
a ready
her,
or not too
I think her winning means
yeah.
that she gets out of that. It's not like she's gonna have to now
but I think if she has the family fortune, if she's the heir to their family fortune, I feel like the curse is attached to the money.
Yes.
And so if
I,
she's
could, yeah I
you
can
know,
see it
so
but
if
the box burned down
I felt like it kind of ended the whole thing because
yeah.
that family's gone now, you know?
Yeah.
So I thought it was like that's the contract, and the contract is
completed.
She won. It's fulfilled. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, obviously it's open to interpretation,
right.
but I like to think of it as her not just going through that and then not being rich. Like, I want her to – she needs the money and not to be cursed.
Right.
Like, but if they try to pull a ready or not two, or
yeah.
hopefully not.
So, yeah, so she sits, she kind of collapses, starts smoking a cigarette. And the cop walks up and she's like, "Hey, what happened?" And he was just like, takes a big drag, blows out the smoke, and just is like, "In-laws," and that's how it cuts out. Like,
it's a great
that's
outline.
That's the end of it.
I thought
this
was
amazing. This is I was thinking like so far it's Avengers, Hollywood, and this like these are
this,
this is
and this, this is a Disney movie. This is Fox Searchlight.
Yeah.
So this is one that they actually bought and is successful because they've been talking about how Fox has been. Losing tons of money for Disney so far, and it's like I know this isn't going to set the world on fire box office wise, but at least it's a success,
right?
And good, because these are the movies we want. If Disney is going to be taking over and owning the world, I at least want Fox Searchlight movies to still exist and these art house movies, because these are so much fun and they're so refreshing compared to the big blockbusters.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
And
I agree.
I want these to do well. If you want more movies like this, you have to go support them at the theater, or else the Disneys of the world that own Fox, they're going to shut these down.
Yep.
You know?
I agree.
And it's great to see a good one come out of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, this is so much. This is a lot of fun. I loved it.
Yeah, I liked it. I didn't love it, but yeah. I liked it. It was enjoyable.
Yeah. There you go. So, ready or not.
Awesome. Well, I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And Aaron, where can people find you?
At E April Beauty on Twitter. And then you can follow my dog, Schroeder Marlowe, at Schroeder the Schroeds on Instagram.
All right.
Well, next time we should have the dog on. We should wait till there's like a dog movie and we'll have the dog on.
Well, he has to have his own Patreon account.
Yeah.
But not one of those sad ones like where the dog dies
Homeward Bound.
Yeah, let's not bum the dog out.
No, that would be the remake of Where the Red Fern Grows.
Yeah.
The remake. Lady in the Tramp. You just have him on Lady in the Tramp.
There you go.
Old Yeller 2. Come on in, Schroeder.
Old Yeller 2.
So, you can find me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online at facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, join the League of Show Sharers. Also, don't forget our Patreon account, patreon.com/Real Spoilers, where for $5 you get bonus content and the chance to be on the show. And of course, don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Please go subscribe, rate, and review. So that's it for this one. Coming up next week, are there any major releases next week? I don't think there are.
Angel Has Fallen.
Are there any major releases next week?
We'll just have to wait and find out.
Maybe we'll do our Super Summer Mega Box Office Report.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Recap winners and losers for the year.
Sounds like fun.
Or for the summer. So anyway, that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, the bride's daughter is alive.
Who wants to play a game?
It's time for hide and seek.
Run, run, run. Time to run and hide. Run, run, run. And now I'm going to find you. Scurry off into the darkness. Hurry, I'm behind you. Don't you speak. Hide and seek. Tiptoe to the cellar.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.